make some noise if you're glad to be in the house today. Oh, come on. I want the people who you came just to be with Jesus. The song says, I want you and nothing else. Everything is extra, but if I get the presence of the Lord, I get what I came for. Amen. TGH, it's so good to be in the building today. I know it's been a long week for a lot of people. Some of you guys came and we have no idea what it took for you to get here. But I believe that the word of the Lord today is gonna bless somebody and help you grow closer in your knowledge of him. We're in a series called If You Know, You Know. And it's all about growing in your personal relationship with Jesus. Knowing him helps you know him. Charles, what are you talking about? What does that mean? The more you know him, the more revelation and knowledge you have of him, the deeper you get in your intimacy with him. You know him, the more you know him. And last week, Celis dropped some fire on us with that word. Were you here last week? Come on now. Where Marcellus taught us about how often God shows up in our situation, but we don't even recognize him. Because of our expectations, because of how we expect him to show up, you can miss him in your situation. And we live in a time and a culture where every day we're bombarded with different voices. Whether it's the music we listen to, whether it's the social media influencers you follow, whether it's that podcast you listen to, even your friends and your family have access to your ears. And oftentimes it feels like we have so many people speaking and it's hard to hear God's voice. Many Christians are moving through life striving to grow in their relationship with God, and they're wondering, why isn't he speaking? Why can't I hear God's voice? And for many of us, it's not that God is not speaking or that his voice is hard to hear. It's just that we haven't committed ourselves to the daily disciplines that makes his voice clear to us. We all know that a major aspect of knowing someone is learning how to communicate with them. Every relationship guru will tell you, communication, communication, right? And we know that closeness leads to familiarity. And I have a message today, and this will be part three of If You Know, You Know. And hopefully I can give us some basic foundational steps and truths so that you can begin to recognize the voice of God in your life. You can cancel out all the noise and all of the clutter, and you can start to hear God clearly in your life. This morning I want to preach a message on how we can hear God's voice, how we can know him and grow in our familiarity with him. How can we know when it's his voice and not the voice of the enemy? This is so important because how many of you know that humanity fell because of our decision to listen to the wrong voice? That's how important it is for you to know God's voice. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. But I really want this opening prayer for you to spend a couple seconds praying to the Lord to remove anything that may distract you from hearing what he's saying today. Lord, I came in here with a lot from my week. Lord, there's a lot of drama in my life. Lord, I need forgiveness for some things that I've been doing. Lord, I have anxiety, I'm stressed. But God, I don't want anything to block me from receiving this word, because if I add these disciplines to my life, and I will be able to hear your voice more clearly. So, dear Heavenly Father, as we continue in this series, let your spirit speak and remove anything out of the way that is trying to hinder us from receiving this word. We want to hear your voice so that we can know you on a deeper level. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everyone say amen. Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, it's at the very front of the Bible. If you're having a little trouble finding this, Genesis chapter 3. And I want to just set a little stage for this. Before I give you the steps for Before I give you the steps for how you can start to hear God's voice, before you start to be more disciplined, you need to understand that there's a strategy that the enemy has against you hearing God's voice. That's been his strategy from the very beginning, because he knows that God is speaking, and if you listen and follow his voice, he'll lead you down a path of righteousness. And the enemy has a strategy against you hearing his voice. We can go all the way back into the garden in Genesis chapter 3. When God gave them one command, he said, take dominion of the earth, enjoy the garden, walk with me. But there's this one thing you cannot do. You cannot eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. He gave them one command, and he was clear about it. But then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals. One day, he asked the woman, he said, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any trees in the garden? Verse 2, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Then verse 4, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman. He said, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Watch this at the beginning of verse 6. And the woman was convinced. This is just my intro, but I want, if you're taking notes, I want you to take this down. A major aspect of discerning God's voice is being aware of the enemy's strategy against you believing. Let me say that one more time. As you learn how to discern God's voice, you need to know that the enemy has a continual strategy to prevent you from believing what God says. If you look in verse 1 through 3, even though Adam and Eve were familiar with the voice of the Lord, Eve listened to the voice of the enemy. And the enemy is the author of lies and confusion. He comes to make you question what you should be confident in what you believe. You see, he was slick with it. He pulled up on Eve and he asked a question. See, he didn't just come straight out and try to deny what God said. He said, did God really say that? Is that really what it means? And then you see in verse 4 through 6, the enemy essentially calls God a liar and makes Eve believe that God is withholding something from her. See, here's another note I want you to take. The enemy doesn't just come with a straight out lie. You may be seated all over the bed. I know y'all standing like, Charles, what's up? What are we doing here? The enemy doesn't just come with a straight lie. The enemy comes to confuse you, and he uses half the truth so that it doesn't fully sound like a lie. So if I come with a straight up lie, you'll automatically shut that down because you know the whole truth. But if it's a lie laced in truth, if it's 50% true and 50% lie, then I can start to cause confusion. So he didn't lie, he questioned God at first. He said, did God really say that? And for many of us, you're like, God, you're like, Charles, how does that like pertain to me right now? Well, a lot of us are deconstructing a lot of the stuff that we've come to believe in our faith, right? And the enemy is like, is that really the word of God? Is that what God meant by that? Come on now, that's like old school version of sexuality. We're freer than that now in 2023. Oh no, wait, I know we thought the Bible was infallible, but some of it is true, right? Like God didn't really mean that you had to wait. God didn't really mean you had to pray. God, the enemy, he doesn't just come with a whole lie. He'll come with half a truth, so that you kind of believe it, but then he slides the lie in there, because after he questioned it, you see in verse 4, he straight up said, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. The truth, because that did happen. He said, God told you not to do it because he knows your eyes will be open. But after the truth, here comes the lie. He says, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. This is crazy. because he told Eve that God was withholding them being like God. But in Genesis 1, it says that God said, let us make them in our likeness. So they already were like God. You already are an image bearer of God. You already are made in his likeness. And the enemy is tempting you with something you already have. He said God is withholding stuff from you. And he doesn't want you to be like him. And he made her doubt what she really already had. And then it says in verse 6, she was convinced. That is the enemy's strategy. When God speaks, he comes and makes you question the truth. And then he gives you a false truth and makes you believe that instead of what God has spoken. So today, our question is, what are some ways that we can know God's voice? How can we grow more familiar with him when we need clarity? Every day you wake up and you grab your phone and you go outside and you start talking to your friends and you listen to music, you already have five other voices speaking to you. And you're wondering why you can't hear God clearly. Because you have five other voices trying to compete with God's voice. And then on top of that, you got the enemy with the strategy of trying to get you to believe a lie. So today, we're going to learn a few principles on how you can know God's voice. And these are super simple. It's not anything profound. But these are things that every believer, if you put these into practice, you will start to hear God's voice more clearly. Amen? Okay, the first thing, if you know God's word, you will know his voice. Write that down. If you know God's word, you will know his voice. I know that sounds super simple. I know it just sounds like, oh, read the Bible. I know your grandma told you that. But you really need to understand that God's word contains things he's already spoken. And sometimes you're looking for a new word when you haven't even found what he's already said. It's not that God isn't speaking sometimes. Sometimes he's already spoken. And he doesn't need to say anything new. You just need to find what he already said. And here's another layer of that. You need to believe the word that he's already said. Some of us know scripture, but we don't really believe the scripture. So you can quote, you can memorize, but if you don't actually believe it, then you won't hear his voice. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, I encourage you to study this. Paul is teaching Timothy, and he says this, all scripture is inspired by God. Pause. He didn't say some scripture is inspired by God. He didn't say most of the scripture is inspired by God. What word did he say? All. He said all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us do what? Realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do right. If you're taking notes, write this down. All scripture is useful to teach us about God and his truth. So don't say, I can't recognize God's voice when you're not spending time in his word. You can't say God isn't speaking to me when you aren't in his word, consuming the scripture and believing what he's already said. Verse 17 says, and God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Come on, can I talk to somebody who's called in here? Can I talk to somebody who has a purpose in here? Can I talk to somebody who God wants to do some great things through you? Let me give you a disclaimer. God doesn't call us to anything that we can do without his word. I'm going to preach to you because they don't hear what I'm saying right now. They know they're not talking to me well. God doesn't call you to anything that you can do without his word. So if you think you're walking in your purpose, you think you're serving God, but you're not in your word, you didn't need time in the scripture. You didn't need quiet and devotional time with God. You just feel so equipped. You might not be doing what God has called you to do. He doesn't call anybody to anything that they don't need his word for. It says you use his word to get to know him, but also he uses the word to equip you. The word gives you what you need to operate in your purpose. Okay, Charles. So how do I use his word to know his voice? I know all scripture is inspired and I need to study it and he equips me. But how do I know his voice? Glad you asked. Go to Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 through 12. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 12. And it says this: how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. So take it a step further. It's not enough to just read his word. It's not enough to just believe his word. You have to obey his word. See, I know this is too simple for y'all, but really, if you really look over your life, are you actually applying these disciplines in your life? It says, I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. So he's saying, I'm reading your word and I'm trying to obey it, but my next question is, will you please not let me wander? Because if you leave me to myself, I'm not going to obey your word. If you leave me to myself, I'm going to obey my own passions. If you leave me to myself, I'll talk to a snake and not believe what you said. Oh, come on now. I'm sorry. This is a little too. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You read the word, believe the word, and then you hide the word in your heart. Because while you're reading the word, your flesh is fighting the word. Oh, am I lying to y'all right now? When you read the word, have you ever read the word and be like, I don't like that? Like your whole flesh just say, no. While you're reading the word, your heart is like, ugh. I gotta give that up. I gotta break up with this person. I gotta stop watching that. It's your goal to move behind scripture memorization, but to believe the scriptures you're memorizing. Hiding the word in your heart means it doesn't stop at your mind. Knowledge should turn into wisdom, and wisdom should turn into conviction that helps you not disobey God. Let me say that one more time. Let me slow it down, put it on replay. Knowledge should turn into wisdom, and wisdom should turn into conviction in your heart. You should read a scripture, and it should tell you about your life, and the next time you're tempted, you're reminded of that scripture. You ever read something and wish you could unread it? Like, dang, now that I know that, I can't do it no more. Oh, why did I read that? Because now the scripture's in my mind and in my heart, and the Holy Spirit reminds me of what I read. So now I can't even sin the same. Oh. Do you remember when sin was like, you was in your bag. You was like, But now that you got scripture in your heart, it don't even feel as good. Because while you're preparing for the sin, your heart is reminding you of the scriptures that you read. And your mind is saying, you know God don't like that. You know the scripture said that God grieves over that. You know that that's going to set you back a few days of quiet time. You know you're going to have to repent. You know you're going to have to call your prayer partner and act like you didn't do it. See, man, wow. Y'all not real in here today. Y'all ain't called your prayer partner. Hey, how you doing? And they like, again. Hiding the word in your heart is taking the scripture from knowledge and information to wisdom and conviction in your heart. Don't just memorize scripture. Hide it in your heart so that the Holy Spirit can remind you when your flesh starts acting up. The question for those of us who are trying to hear God's voice: do you believe the words that he's already spoken? Do you believe the words he's already spoken? Before he gives you a rhema word, before he gives you something new, you need to first believe what he's already spoken. Do you have time in the word and you're like, God already said that. I believe that. Because if he gives you a new word, you need his old word to confirm that it's him. Because God ain't gonna go back on what he already said. He's not gonna say anything that could contradict scripture. So you walking around thinking, ooh, God just gave me something new. And then a scripture says this, and you're like, oh, wait, that don't match what God just said. Because God didn't say that. What his word does, it gives you healthy boundaries so you can know if it's the enemy, you, or God. Your voice sounds like God when you want it to sound like God. Woo! Come on now. You will convince yourself that Jesus is speaking in your life. Ooh, God, I know that this person is for me. They fine. They know John 3:16. Uh-huh. And God ain't said nothing. That was your flesh. And like the enemy, he'll give you a half-truth. This person is a good person. That's true, but they're not your person. Everything that's good ain't God. Let me say that one more time. Everything that's good is not God. You need the scripture to confirm what you think God is saying. Second point, because some of y'all getting mad at me. We just said, if you know your word, you will know his voice. Secondly, if you know your helper, you will know your voice. Let me do a poll in the room. Do I have any 90s babies in the room? Like, where are my 90s babies? Hey, what's up? All my 90s babies. I was on TikTok. See, I told y'all I'll be on TikTok. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. This brother got on TikTok and he was like, hey, I got a question for all of y'all that were born in the 1900s. What? The 1900s? Like, we were born in medieval, prehistoric times? Like, when he said that, I'm like, what is going on here? Do you know that there are legal adults that were born beyond the year 2000? There's somebody 21 years old walking around born in 2002. What? Do you remember 9/11? Do you remember Y2K? Do you remember any? I'm on a tangent. I'm sorry. See, pray for the 90s babies, because y'all trying to make us feel old. We only 30. What are we doing? But if you grew up in the 90s, you remember life before GPS. I remember having to print out directions. MapQuest was GPS. And it didn't matter if you have been there before. Print out that MapQuest so we can take this ride. I remember driving and looking at the MapQuest. My dad, he took it even further. He legit had a map in his glove box. He said, unfold that map. And I did a highlighter on the path. What? See, some of y'all, you too young for that. And all you know is GPS being on your phone. Before, we had to literally have a map in our hands, but today, you can have Google Maps or Apple Maps, and these days, you can go around and listen to the voice of your GPS. Every turn you make, every block you go down, turn left, and you're like, bet, got you, okay. You can hear the voice of your GPS, and what I'm trying to tell you today is the Holy Spirit is our spiritual GPS. Every turn you make in your life, every step that you take, I know you believe you know where you're going, but check your spiritual GPS. What is the Holy Spirit saying? I know you want to go left. I know that that path worked before, but where is your spiritual GPS telling you to go? Oftentimes, you'll read the word and you won't get what God is saying. And then you have to pray and tap into the spiritual GPS that is within you. When you have the word within you and it partners with the spirit that is within you, you can start to hear God's voice clearly. In John 14, Jesus was preparing the disciples for when he would leave. And he says, if you love me, obey my commands. Then he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you a helper. He will give you an advocate who will never leave you. Watch this, verse 17. He is the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys know the Holy Spirit is a he and not a it? He is a Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. And then he says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know, if you know, you know. But you know him because he lives in you. You will have him and he will be in you. Jesus knew that the disciples could only follow him to a certain extent without the help of the Holy Spirit. He told them in John 16 that it was better for him to leave. They were begging him to stay, and he said, no, I gotta leave because the helper must come. If all you have is scripture, If all you have is the written word, but you don't have God's literal spirit guiding you in all truth, you will read scripture and skew what the scripture says. We love taking scripture and making it say what we want it to say. Ooh, see, you take one verse when it's a whole chapter trying to tell you something. You'll take verse 17 and 17 tell you, oh, I can do that. See, even the word confirms this. No, read up and read down and then pray about it so the spirit can tell you what's true or not. Everyone tap your neighbor and say, you really need help. I wasn't going to say nothing. I was gonna be real low with it, but you need some help. You really need some help. Tap your other neighbor and say, oh, I wasn't done. You too. You need some help. You really need some help. Knowing God and his voice is something that you have to be guided into. You don't just automatically become familiar with his voice. You need his spirit to guide you into truth. You need his Holy Spirit to make you familiar with his voice. And don't try to figure out his voice in isolation. I know you a Bible scholar. I know you went to seminary. I know you grew up in church. But you can't know God's voice in isolation. There will be times where you're trying to figure out what God is saying, and you read a scripture, you prayed by yourself, you listened to Maverick City, and it's still not clear. You're like, God, I did everything. And what God is telling you is you haven't entered into community, though. Because sometimes the word that he has for you, he's giving it to somebody else. Come on now. Woo! Sometimes the word he has for you, he's giving it to your brother. He's giving it to your sister. He's giving it to a mother in the church. He's giving it to one of your mentors. And if you try to figure out your situation in isolation, you will convince yourself that you've heard his voice. But you need someone wise in the faith. You need someone who is unbiased, who ain't going to tell you what you want to hear, who's going to tell you what the Lord is saying. You need somebody in your life you can trust. Hey, I think God is saying this. Am I crazy? You need somebody who will tell you when you crazy. Girl, we've been telling you he ain't it. You keep thinking he it, but you ain't talking to us. In isolation, everything seems right to you. In isolation, the scripture is all affirming you. It's just telling you everything. No. I'm going to give you a scripture. Your friends and your brothers and sisters in the faith, the Holy Spirit lives in them too. And sometimes the answer you need is in community. That's why we do life groups. That's why we come to church. That's why we say you need accountability partners, because you can't trust your own discernment sometimes. Your flesh sometimes will confuse you in isolation. Let me talk to my singles real quick. Because the Holy Spirit not only will tell you what God is saying, but the Holy Spirit will also tell you what God ain't saying. And if somebody try to roll up on you and hit you with that pickup line, ooh, God told me you my husband. God told me you was my wife. He was very clear about it. When I saw you on Sunday, he made it clear we were supposed to be together. You came to this church for me. You need the Holy Spirit in you to be able to say, God ain't tell me that. That ain't his voice. And he ain't calling me to something I ain't attracted to. Hello, amen. Oh, read Songs of Solomon. I'm sorry. I'm in the text. God ain't calling you to nothing that you aren't attracted to. See, they didn't ask for this. His voice. The Holy Spirit will rebuke what God is not saying. So watch out, because there are people in church, in your groups, in the faith, who they love saying what God is saying, but ain't no Holy Spirit in that. So you also need the Holy Spirit to tell you what God is not saying. You need the Holy Spirit to test what your pastor is saying. The scriptures say, study to show yourself approved. That's why I say take notes. I could be off. When you go home, okay, Charles said this, but it sounded kind of weird. Study for yourself. Pray for yourself. We're all humans. We all are flawed. But you have the perfect Spirit of God living in you, showing you and leading you into truth. Somebody say amen. The last one, if you know God, your shepherd, then you know his voice. This is my last point. Go with me to John chapter 10. So we know his word. We know we have his spirit. But this one is almost the most important step you can take. John 10, verse 1 through 8. Now Jesus is teaching you about his voice. I love this scripture. It says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Watch this. And sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. I'm getting too happy. I got to keep reading, Charles. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, they didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it. He said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. And all who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep will not listen to them. The third point, if you want to know God's voice, you need to spend time with the shepherd. You cannot be a sheep in the sheepfold and expect to know the difference between a thief and the shepherd if you're not spending time with the shepherd. Get this imagery in your mind. Think about how much time a shepherd spends with the sheep. When the sheep needs a bath, they're with the shepherd. When the sheep is in trouble, they need the shepherd. When the sheep need anything, they go to the shepherd. So they spent so much time with the shepherd that the shepherd comes in and says, hi, and they know the difference between his voice and another voice. And he says, watch how people come into your life. If they didn't come in through the gate, they might be a thief or a robber. He says, some people come into your life and they jump the gate. They came through the window. They went through the back door. And yes, they're in the sheepfold, but you need to pay attention to how people came in. And like, wait, how do I know if they came through the gate or not? Jesus says, I am the gate. So if they didn't come through me, they are a thief or a robber. And if you, a lot of us, we've fallen in love with Jesus as the gate, but we haven't spent enough time with him to know him as the shepherd. Can I say that again? If you become a believer, that means you know Jesus as the gate. He got you into the sheepfold of faith. But now you need to do your due diligence to know him as your shepherd. Don't be content with just being in the sheepfold. Don't be content with just being a sheep at church. Now that you're in the sheepfold, spend time with the shepherd. Jesus warns us that we must know his voice because there are strangers that want to come into your life and speak into your life. But he gives us a key. He says, we as a sheep must not be content with entering through the gate and just being in the sheepfold. Don't be content with just being a churchgoer. Don't be content with just getting a word on Sunday but not being in your word all week. Don't be content with when you need prayer, asking other people to pray for you. You need to have your own prayer life. You need to have your own quiet time. You need to have your own devotion life. I know this is boring, but I'm gonna keep going. You need to keep on growing in your discipline because these things will make the difference when the enemy is speaking to you and you don't know who's talking. Because you spent so much time with the shepherd, you recognize his voice. Accepting Christ and getting saved is amazing. But it doesn't stop there. It's not equal to knowing his voice. You must use your time in the sheepfold to become familiar with the shepherd. One thing I love about Jesus is that when you meet him, you learn him as one thing, but you realize he's many things. You met him as the gate. Come on now. As the way you entered into the faith. But as you spent more time with him, you realize he's the gate and he's the shepherd that comes through the gate. So he gets you into the faith, but he also takes care of you while you're growing in the faith. Jesus is more than just one thing. Moses was like, okay, I'm going to tell Pharaoh what you want him to say, but who shall I say sent me? And God said what? Tell him the great I am sent you. Woo! He said, I'm the great I am, because one word doesn't accurately depict who I am. He said, I am more than one thing. I am more than what you think I am. And you only know that by spending time with him. I want to close in this. Go to John chapter 10, verse 10 through 14. Because knowing his voice isn't just so you can say, I know when God is speaking. When you know his voice, it leads you into abundant life. The life that God has for you, you cannot live that life or receive that life if you don't know his voice. If you aren't guided by his spirit, if he's not leading you. Verse 10, he said, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's telling you there's someone who's speaking to you, and their strategy is to kill, steal, and destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy what I've called you to be. He wants to destroy the amazing works that I want you to do. But he says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me. Jesus is saying, you need to remember that the enemy has a strategy to destroy you. And if you're not in my word, if you're not being led by my spirit, if you're not spending time with me, then you're giving the enemy a straight entryway to destroy you and your purpose. And when you get to know Jesus, you learn that he is gonna be so many different things for you in life. There's somebody in this room, and you came to church today, and you were filled with guilt and shame. And who you think Jesus is a judger. You think Jesus is a condemner. You think Jesus is an upholder of the law. So you came in expecting one version of Jesus. But we just learned that he is not just one version. He's the gate and the shepherd. But how many of you know that when we get to the end, and it's just us and him, and we're at his throne, and it's time for him to look over our life, and he looks at the Lamb's Book of Life, he's going to be our lawyer in the courtroom. Somebody needs to get happy about that. There's an accuser in the courtroom reminding the judge of everything you've done wrong. He's been observing you, and he's been counting all of your sins. There's an accuser and a thief, and he's making a claim against you, trying to get the judge to condemn you. But you have a lawyer in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ makes a claim to the judge and says, yes, I know they're messed up. Yes, I know that they're flawed. Yes, I know that they've broken my commandments. Yes, I know they're not perfect, but they have a relationship with me. And it says that the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. So the lawyer steps in and he says, what they deserve, I'll take it. What they deserve for what they did, put the punishment on me. Don't look at their record, look at mine. Look at the fact that I was perfect so they did not have to be. Jesus is the lawyer in the courtroom. But then as you're in the courtroom, you look around and you realize that Jesus isn't just the lawyer. You look at the jurors and all you see is Jesus. You look at what evidence he has and all you see is your record, but the record, you can't read it because it's covered in blood. Woo! He can't even read what's wrong with you because it's covered in blood. And you're like, I don't even know if this is enough. But then you look at the judge and you say, I don't know if this is enough for the judge to forgive me. But then you realize that the lawyer and the judge have a special relationship. I'm about to run up out of here right now. You realize that Jesus isn't talking to just anybody. Jesus is the lawyer, but also he's the son of the great judge. So he's not just talking to anybody. The lawyer is talking to his heavenly father. And when the judge tries to judge you for what you've done wrong, he can't read the record of your sins because it's covered in blood. But he also can't judge you because he can't judge his son. You are in Christ. And Jesus wants to be more than just somebody you read in the pages of the Bible. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be your guide. He wants to be your comforter. And somebody here today needs to go deeper than just being someone in the sheepfold. Yes, you can be a sheep, but do you know the shepherd? Do you know his voice? And when you know his voice, you can make the right decisions in life. He will guide you into all truth. Will you stand with me all over the building? Today, I want to invite somebody to dedicate themselves to growing closer to the shepherd. Because many of us, we've been coming to church and we don't feel like God is speaking to us. We're coming to church and we need him to speak into our lives. But he's telling us today that there's things that you can start doing each day so my voice can be clearer. I know there are a lot of voices in your life trying to tell you what to do, trying to tell you who you are, trying to give you purpose and meaning. But you need to know how to know which voice is God's voice. And when you know his voice, he will lead you into abundant life. See, before you were born, he already had a life prepared for you. He already chose you. He already gave you a purpose. But it's dependent on you being able to hear him clearly and him guiding you into that life. I have two invitations today, and we're going to pray together and we're going to worship him for who he is. There's somebody where you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're not in the sheepfold. And you hear this message and you realize, I don't know the shepherd. I don't have a relationship with this Jesus that the pastor is talking about. And no wonder my life is the way it is. No wonder I don't know what to do next. No wonder nothing is satisfying me. No wonder no achievement really feels fulfilling. No wonder I feel lost. Because the one who prepared a life for me and was supposed to guide me, I don't have access to him. Today I want to invite you to begin a relationship with Jesus and to lay down your guilt and shame and to pick up his grace and mercy and his forgiveness and for you to start to hear his voice even clearer. And for the second person in the room, you have given your life to Christ and you are a sheep in his sheepfold. But the enemy has been speaking and you don't know who to listen to. You don't know whose voice is trying to guide you. And you're confused. And you don't want to keep on trying to figure life out on your own. And there was something said today where you said, I need that. I need to grow in his word. I need his spirit. And I need his presence. Today we invite you to go deeper to hear his voice. And as the worship team comes back up, and as we start to sing, we ask you to come up to the altar. Lay before the Lord. If you need to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you need to bow your head, bow your head. If you need to stand in his presence, stand in his presence. But today your goal is, God, I want to know you and your voice more and more clearer each day. I need you to be my guide in this life. I don't want to keep figuring out life in isolation. I need your spirit to be my GPS. I don't want to be the one guide in my life. God, I need you. Because what is a sheep without the shepherd? A sheep without a shepherd is unprotected. A sheep without a shepherd is prime for the attack of the wolf. But when a sheep has a shepherd, when the thief comes into the sheepfold, the thief has to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. And because the sheep know his voice, they always live in his protection. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, and as the worship team comes sing, the Lord is calling you nearer. And if this is your day, don't discount it. Because even right now, another voice is speaking to you. I told you the enemy will do that. While God is speaking, he'll begin to speak and discourage you from coming down. Telling you this message ain't for you. Oh, no, don't do that. Because this is just a show. You know them pastors, you can't trust them. But I'm not calling you to come to me. I'm calling you to come to the Good Shepherd. And the scripture says that he will never leave nor forsake you. So when you have the shepherd, you have someone who is with you no matter what. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your voice. That even from Genesis to now, you have been speaking. And whether it's through your word, or whether it's through the guidance of your spirit, or whether it's through time spent with you, we want to know your voice even clearer. So as your sons and daughters come to the altar, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would start to speak into their hearts. I pray that you would start to hide your word in your heart. I pray that your spirit would become even more evident in their life. I pray that the answers that they are seeking, that they have not received, Lord, I pray that they would start to hear what you're saying. I pray that you would bring to remembrance the different ways that you have spoken into their lives. I pray that you would make your voice even more clearer to them. And I pray that we will rebuke the voice of the enemy in our lives. I pray that what the enemy has spoken over our identity, I pray that what this enemy reminds us of what we've done wrong, I pray that what the enemy tries to tell us about God is rebuked in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the only thing that stays in our heart and our mind is the truth of your word. The truth that says that in you there is no condemnation for the believer. The truth that says, in whom the Spirit sets free is truly free indeed. So I pray that the person who is in you would know that they have freedom and that they have forgiveness and that they have another chance and that every day there is new mercies, there is new grace, and it follows them everywhere that they go. I pray that the lies of the enemy would become mute in the name of Jesus. I pray that your voice would be so clear to them that they can walk in your spirit boldly and confidently. And like Jesus in the wilderness, when the enemy starts to tempt, you just give a scripture and the enemy flees. And after Jesus spoke the word to the enemy, that said that the enemy fled and the angels came and gave him strength. Hallelujah. So everybody at the altar, I pray that you would know that God is sending his angels to strengthen you. He has a guardian angel following you and going ahead of you and dodging all of the attacks of the enemy for you. And the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you into all truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the gate to the sheepfold. But help us become more familiar with you as the shepherd so that we can know your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.